And it's mud season in Vermont. Maybe Cousin Peg is out checking taps for sap to make maple syrup. I was afraid to tell her that we were going to feature a Vermont cookbook from a self-described flatlander, someone not born there, but she said, "Oh, we love Gesina Bullock Prado." And her sister sometimes came to serve at her cafe. Her sister being movie star Sandra Bullock. They founded a movie company in 1990. But Gesina is now the star of the culinary world. Her Food Network show was Baked in Vermont. She's also a Vermont culinary instructor, has been there 20 years. And her new cookbook is My Vermont Table. It's dedicated to cooking for all six seasons, including mud and stick. We'll get to that. And to being authentic Vermont. Gesina, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
What do you mean, authentically Vermont, and that you're culinarily shaped by it?
Well, authentically Vermont means that you are living by the seasons, the six seasons. Mm-hmm. And we spend each season really enraptured by what's before us, whether it is snow, whether it is maple, whether it is spring ephemerals like morels and ramps. Every season, and we get extra ones, there's something to celebrate. Mm. And even if it's not something that is typically Vermont-y, I think just celebrating the season and the feeling of it is authenticity.
You include an entire chapter of maple-inspired recipes. There's a biscuit casserole. You top maple breakfast sausages, sharp cheddar, Vermont cheese, eggs, potatoes with a giant maple biscuit. You put maple in everything. Just talk a little bit about the savory aspects of maple.
If you look at many recipes that are savory, there's usually a sweetness that is included that doesn't make the dish itself sweet, but acts as a seasoning. I always have maple around. I have it in a squeeze bottle. So instead of using sugar, I use a little touch of maple when I do my tastings and I know it has enough salt. It probably has enough acid, but it just is lacking just that one touch of sweetness. And maple combines with the ingredients so quickly that it is very rare that you would oversweeten something because it's instantaneous. So maple is one of those lovely things that it is so of America and it is so delicious. And it also provides not only sweetness, but a buttery taste to it as well. At least the stuff that we tap, we swear, my husband and I think that the maple from our trees is the most buttery, luscious stuff on earth.
Oh, you do your own tapping. How great. But just quickly, how do you know you're getting the best? What do grades mean? What do the colors mean?
Well, originally, Vermont's grading system was a letter system, A to D. And I think that there was a negativity that went along with anything that was lower than A. So instead, the grading system changed so that A is now called golden, B is amber, C is dark, and D is very dark. And it's just a matter of when the sap is running in the season, the maple gets darker and more profoundly mapley. So I think what people are most used to is what we would call amber, but what a Vermonter would be geared towards is something dark or very dark because it's a wallop of maple flavor. And that is the one that you want to go for when you are, say, using it in baking. If you're just using it for sweetening, in that case, we would use a golden or an amber.
Mm. Well, and just to be clear, too, make sure it's real.
Yes. Yes. Make sure it's real. I mean, what a treasure it is, first of all, that a tree is giving you sugar. As old as I am, it never stops delighting me that it comes from a tree.
Well, and we know you've got so many dessert recipes in the book, maple butternut cream pie, maple filled cream puffs, one that our producer, Karen Miller-Mitson, who's also an award-winning baker, I'm just going to throw that out. She wins the NPR baking competition every year. I'm just putting that out. But it's a maple glazed bundt cake. And I'm tasting the maple, but it just feels so much lighter or something.
When you use maple in recipes, it will be diluted by the bulk of the recipe, which would be flour, butter, all the other goodness that goes into it. But maple itself has such a lovely undertone. You're just letting it sing through whatever recipe you're using. On the other hand, there are some recipes in there, like unrepentantly maple fudge, where you cannot get away from the fact that this is maple. It is sweet, it's luscious, and it's not going to let you forget it.
Yeah, it's so good. We have to, unfortunately, move on to other seasons. You talk about late fall stick season. You say it's slightly eerie and magical. Talk more about the recipes from that time.
We mark it by when the leaves have fallen. And Vermont is so famous for our glorious display of leaves. And they don't stay around long enough. And what you're left with is when you look up are sticks, because all the trees are bare. But it's also a time, and you would think it's sad, but it's like one of the most renewing seasons in Vermont. It's a quiet time. It's a little eerie. It's when Halloween comes around. And the fact that there's no snow on the ground and everything is just slightly foggy and dark,
yeah,
it makes you wonder if maybe like the Headless Horseman's going to come out any moment now.
Yeah, Ichabod Crane, upstate New York and in Vermont. And some of the comfort foods, the Dog Team Tavern sticky buns with russet potatoes in the dough.
Yes. Oh, they are a Vermont staple. And one of the things that I call for in more than one recipe is something I call starch water, where if you're making pasta or potatoes, the water in which that stuff is boiled, keep that water because the starch in it provides the springiness to whatever you're baking. But that particular recipe calls not only for the starch water, but also for the potatoes themselves. Mm. So the end result is the fluffiest, bounciest, stickiest sticky bun in the history of sticky buns.
Maybe go out and plow a field or something after you eat
it
that.
It will give you energy for days.
There's that. Also, the Bullock brown butter banana bread, just to remind people, you don't buy brown butter, you make it in a pan.
That is correct. So you take any old butter, and I recommend putting it in a very tall pot. Even if it's a small amount of butter, it likes to sputter everywhere. And then you will start smelling it, but you'll also stop hearing it. And so it is okay to walk away from the butter as long as you hear it being very noisy. But the second it gets silent, in its silence, it has decided to become something magical. And that is the brown butter. And it's called in French, beurre noisette, which means nut butter, essentially. It brings this wonderful caramelized butter taste to everything that you put it in.
We are looking at spring. You've got an omelet with butter sauteed morels. You've got ramp pesto twist bread, fiddleheads, the ferns, goose eggs, rhubarb. Pick one and talk about how we use them.
The spring ephemerals are exactly that, ephemeral. And isn't that like a magical way of speaking of food? Mm. And when I walk into my backyard and I go diagonally towards this one copse of trees, that's when I can start spotting the morels. When you find them, it is just, oh, it's magical. And then I harvest them and I prepare them very simply because they are so delicious alone with just butter and Maggi, which is something that comes from my German heritage. It's a brown seasoning sauce that is very much like soy and it's an umami flavor. And then I put it on top of a beautifully made omelet and it couldn't be a better breakfast, lunch, or dinner.
Well, it's all here. It's all in the book. I'm salivating. But as we always do with chefs, can we just do a little lightning round?
Yeah.
We should say you're also an instructor at the King Arthur Baking Company Baking School in Vermont. How do you know which flour to use for what?
Depending on what you are trying to get structure-wise from a recipe. So all-purpose flour is called all-purpose for a reason because usually if you can't find anything else, it'll work in pretty much any recipe that calls for flour. But if you want something very tender, then you use a cake or a pastry flour. If you want something with structure, like a bread or a sticky bun, you use a bread flour. Hmm. But all-purpose is all-purpose for a reason, that if that's the only thing that you can find, all-purpose it is.
Right. Some of your recipes call for a perforated sheet pan. What is that? We feel we must have that. And why does it make a difference from a regular sheet pan?
It has holes in it. And what it allows is for the heat in the oven to strike the bottom of whatever you're baking as quickly as it strikes the top. So for instance, if you're making a galette, that lovely pie that's not mm-hmm. done in a tin, and you want the bottom to get as crisp as the top, then that's your friend. If you're doing cutout cookies, where traditionally, if you do them on a regular sheet pan, they might bubble up because there's air trapped underneath, that perforated sheet pan allows that air to escape, and you'll have that flat cookie that you're going for to decorate. Wellington, which is, it is so tough to get the bottom of that puff pastry as beautifully brown as the top. That's where the perforated sheet pan and baking mats come in. They help you in every way with a Wellington in getting the bottom and the top perfect, no soggy bottoms.
Huh. I think producer Karen the Baker just left to go get that.
And the lovely thing about it is it is not crazy expensive. So I think it's one of those things that every home baker and home cook can easily afford and afford to keep in their kitchen without taking up a lot of counter space.
Chef and author Gesine Bullock-Prado, her latest book, My Vermont Table, Recipes for All Six Seasons. She includes mud, which we're in, and stick in late fall. It arrives today. Gesine, thank you so much.
Thank you so much. This was as sweet as maple.